At Holly Grove Lutheran Church, we are grateful for your presence with us today. Hopefully this is the last Sunday that we will not be live streaming. Hopefully we're going to get the person who has been stalking me officially blocked on YouTube this week so that we can stream safely without knowing he is watching me. After worship, immediately today, is our semi-annual congregational meeting. We are going to approve our annual report. We had copies of it after worship last week. If you need a copy of that before the meeting, it's on the counter in the narthex. Tomorrow night is men's group. Worship and music committee meets on Tuesday. And of course, during Lent, we have our midweek meal and worship. We're continuing to figure out faith with the Apostle Peter during our worship service, and I'm so excited, the fellowship committee is hosting the meal this week with a taco bar, potato bar, and salad bar. So that's going to be a really delicious meal. In your bulletin, we have the Keeping in Touch. Bobby Waitman's name is listed for Lexington Healthcare Center. It looks like he's actually going home today. So if you'd like to send Bobby a card, you send it to their home address. But even more so, if you would like to go visit Bobby and Jana, they would love visitors. Thank you, pal. Do you want to do the birthdays? Okay. So we have a few birthdays this week. Bonnie Hedrick, Tim Everhart, and Kate Cecil. Chip and Ann Blower and Andy and Crystal Ferguson have their anniversaries, and there is no one celebrating their baptism this week. Let us pray.
Blessed God, name be stated and we stand, and call for these or sorrowful. Raise them unto they fall, and new hearts. May ye pieces, which passes all the sea, abide there, Son of us, new slice of war. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Brantley. And we have two prayer shawls this morning. The first is for Barry Miller. Many of you know Brenda Miller, and she's a big part of our senior citizens group. This is for her son, Barry, who is going through cancer treatments. So we're going to bless that for him. And this is Jim Horn's prayer shawl. He has knee replacement surgery tomorrow. So we're going to pray over this as he gets ready for his surgery and his continued recovery. Let us pray. God, we thank you that anytime we come to you in prayer, you hear us. You hear the words that we say out loud. You hear the thoughts and words that we keep deep within our hearts and minds. We lift up to you this morning, Jim and Barry, as they are both getting ready to begin a knee replacement surgery and recovery and cancer treatment. They've got some long roads ahead of them, and we pray that you accompany them every step of the way. Bless these prayer shawls, so that as they feel the weight of these upon their shoulders, upon their laps, that they would feel the weight of the love and care that we have for them here at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude.
Thank you.
stand? Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God who makes a way in the wilderness, who walks with us, who guides us on our pilgrimage. Amen. Holy One, we confess that we have wandered far from you. We have not trusted your promises. We have ignored your prophets in our own day. We have squandered our inheritance of grace. We have failed to recognize you in our midst. Have mercy on us. Forgive us and turn us again to you. Teach us to follow in your ways. Assure us again of your love. And help us to love our neighbor. Amen. Beloved in Christ, the Word draws near to you. In Jesus, God comes to you again and again and gathers you under wings of love. In Jesus' name, your sins are forgiven. God journeys with you and teaches you how to live in love. Amen. Of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
Thank you.
Let us pray. O God, by the passion of your blessed Son, you made an instrument of shameful death to be for us the means of life. Grant us so to glory in the cross of Christ, that we may gladly suffer shame and loss for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, Conrad. Good morning, Brantley. Good morning, Kate. Do you have a pretty new outfit on?
Yes, you're awesome.
Did you get this for your birthday? Because you're having a birthday in a few days, aren't you? Do you know how old you're going to be? How old? 3 years old! You're growing up so fast. I remember the night before you were born, I called your mommy and daddy, and we prayed together that mommy's delivery would be safe and that you would be happy and healthy and have strong lungs. And here you are, 3 years old. You were actually the very first person I got to baptize. Do you know that? For so many years, I dreamt about being a pastor and what it would be like. And you know, I love baptism. Baptism is one of my favorite things in the whole world. And so I prayed about my first baptism. And you were the first baby that I got to baptize. I have a picture of it in my office, and I see it every day. So, and I remember the night when she had her first communion, and I couldn't hold back the tears. It was so special when you had communion for the first time. So, I guess all of that to say, you all are so special to me, and I have realized in the last year that one of the greatest joys of being a pastor for me is getting to be the pastor to all of you children and watching all the ways that you participate in worship and watching all the joy that you have in Jesus and their singing and when you pray. It is so special for me to watch you grow in your faith, to learn more about God and to learn more about what it means to love other people. So thank you for letting me be your pastor. And you are so special to me, Kate, and Conrad, and Brantley, and Calvin, and Maddie. So I hope you have a really good birthday this week, and that when everybody sings you happy birthday, you know that you are so special and so loved. Will you pray with me? Good morning, God.
Good morning, God.
Thank you for today.
Thank you for today.
Thank you for each other. And thank you for our church.
Thank you for our church.
Thank you for the gift of children.
Thank you for the gift of children.
And all of the joy they bring us.
All of the joy they bring us.
Give us continued delight.
Give us continued delight.
As we get to watch them grow.
As we get to watch them grow.
In our presence.
In our presence.
Thank you for Kate.
Thank you for Conrad.
Thank you for Brantley.
Thank you for
Calvin.
Thank you for Maddie.
Thank you for
Maddie.
We love you, God.
We love you, God.
Amen.
Amen.
Well, thank you for coming up. You can go to Children's Church with Susan today.
The Old Testament lesson is from Isaiah chapter 53. Who has believed what we have heard? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For he grew up before him like a young plant and like a root out of dry ground. He had no form or majesty that we should look at him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. He was despised and rejected by others, a man of suffering and acquainted with infirmity, and as one from whom others hide their faces, he was despised. and we held him of no account. He was apprised and he was afflicted, yet he did not open his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughter, and like a sheep that before its shears is silent, so he did not open his mouth. By perversion of justice he was taken away. Who could have imagined his future? For he was cut off from the land of the living, stricken for the transgression of my people. They made his grave with the wicked and his tomb with the rich, although he had done no violence and there was no deceit in his mouth. Word of God, word of life. Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to Mark, the 8th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Then Jesus began to teach them that the Son of Man must undergo great suffering and be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the scribes, and be killed, and after 3 days rise again. He said all of this quite openly. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him. But turning and looking at his disciples, he rebuked Peter and said, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things." He called the crowd with his disciples and said to them, "If any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? Those who are ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of them the Son of Man will also be ashamed when he comes in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father and Mother, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. It was 12 days ago that Lent, the 40-day season before Easter, began on Ash Wednesday. That night, Brantley and I sat here on the chancel steps and talked about how we would be marked with ashes in the shape of a cross on our forehead, in the exact same place that a cross of oil was marked on our heads in baptism. We talked about how the place on our foreheads where the ashes go in the shape of a cross is the exact same place as the cross of oil to remind us that even though we hear words when we're marked with ashes that remind us of our death, at the same time, that shape and that place reminds us of the love of Jesus and the hope that we have in him. Because even in our baptism, the promises of life coming from death have already been spoken over our lives. And speaking of crosses, in today's gospel lesson, Jesus tells his disciples that in order to follow him, they must take up their own cross. Now, for those of us on this side of Jesus' suffering, death, and resurrection, we hear Jesus' words much differently than the disciples would have, and certainly much differently than the original hearers of Mark's gospel would have heard them. Because for us, the cross is a symbol. Every church has one carved beautifully out of wood, or we have brass or other metal crosses. I wear one around my neck every Sunday. Right? Most of us have some kind of piece of jewelry with a cross on it, maybe a necklace or some earrings, maybe a tie tack, earrings, maybe even a ring or bracelets. You see, for us, we have made the cross beautiful. But I wonder if in doing so, we have sterilized what the meaning of Jesus' words meant by taking up our cross and following him. It doesn't mean putting on a piece of jewelry. For the disciples, for the first century followers of Christ, the cross was a form of execution. Execution for criminals. Death on a cross was shameful, absolutely horrifying, humiliating, and excruciating beyond what we can even begin to imagine. So Jesus isn't saying take up a beautiful symbol or put on a piece of jewelry when he tells his disciples to take up their cross. He's saying take up a form of execution, take up a form of shameful, horrifying, excruciating pain. And what he's really saying is this: you need to be so committed to a life of following the way of Jesus that you are completely willing to offer all that you have and all that you are to following Jesus. Even if that means that you will be rejected, even if that means you will be killed, you are to be so committed to following the way of Jesus that you will offer all you have and all you are to it. This is the truth of Jesus' words. Hard truth, but it is the truth. But in many, many ways, we, just like Peter, we don't want to hear it. Very clearly, Jesus told his disciples that he would undergo great suffering and rejection by the religious and political authorities, and that he would be killed. He also said that in 3 days he would be raised, but I don't know who could even hear those words after being so stunned by the words of suffering and rejection and death. But no matter, Peter didn't want any part of it. The suffering servant that Isaiah describes in our Old Testament lesson today, and that Jesus describes himself to be, was not what Peter expected or wanted a Messiah to be. And he let Jesus know it. You see, Jesus did not meet the expectations that so many in his life had for him as Messiah. And if we are truly honest with ourselves, there are a lot of ways that Jesus doesn't meet our expectations either. We don't want suffering or vulnerability for Jesus or ourselves. And yet Jesus' call to discipleship, to follow him, involves sacrifice, dying to self, and taking up our cross, just as Jesus did. Our minds are to be set on the things of God, not on human things. But like Peter, we don't want to hear it. We might even want to try and rebuke or correct Jesus ourselves. Right? Our permissive and commercialized society says, indulge yourself. But Jesus plainly says, deny yourself. Our selfish natures say, avoid pain at any cost. And Jesus says, take up your cross. Our self-centered ways make us think we are entitled to do whatever is best for us, even if that means bringing harm to others. But Jesus commands us to love others as we love ourselves. Right? We demand our individual rights, and Jesus calls us to lay down our life, to lose it, and to follow him. So we need to decide. Do we really want to follow Jesus? Because he makes it clear what it's going to mean for us. It means that we're going to have to deny ourselves, our selfish, greedy, self-centered ways. Because following Jesus means laying our life down for others. Following Jesus means losing in order to win, dying in order to live. Following Jesus means taking up our cross, being so committed to following the ways of Jesus that we are willing to offer all that we have and all that we are to following him, even if that means being rejected. Even if that means offending others or upsetting others. And the truth of it is, we choose to follow Jesus and all that that means, not out of fear and not in order to gain heaven as some kind of eternal prize when we die, because remember, you have already been given the gift of salvation and eternal life in your baptism. It's not something you can earn. And so we choose to follow Jesus in grateful response for who God is and all that God has done. We choose to follow Jesus because in our baptism, God has lavished so much love upon us, we can't even begin to imagine it. God adopted us as God's own children. God gave us the gift of forgiveness and eternal life. God gave us the gift of the entire family of God across all the world and across all of time. And in baptism, we have been forever, forever joined to Christ. Brothers and sisters, the love of God is the strongest, the biggest, the most powerful force in all the world and in all the universe and in all the galaxies that God created. And this same love has been lavished upon each of us because God loves us so much. And so we follow Jesus and all that that means in grateful response to who God is and to all that God has done. We lay down our life. We deny ourselves. We take up our crosses. Because to quote the wondrous cross, which we're going to sing as our sending hymn, love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all. May it be so. Amen.
You see me, I'm not ashamed.
Living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith together. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated on the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Suited hand by God's abundant mercy, let us pray for the church, the world, and all of creation. We turn to you for meaning, Holy God, nurture in your children and gifts of the Spirit poured out in baptism, and let the mind of Christ guide the church. Give wisdom and discernment to our bishops, pastors, deacons, teachers, and leaders. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We turn to you for renewal. Save lives and ecosystems threatened by pollution and a changing climate. Cleanse the earth's waters and restore the soil. Preserve rainforests, deserts, and wildlife that generations to come may cherish your creation. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We turn to you for justice. Uphold the worth and dignity of every person, especially any who experience hatred or rejection because of gender, ability, sexual orientation, color, ethnicity, or religion. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We turn to you for healing. Send compassionate helpers to any who suffer because of war and violence. Shelter unhoused people. Befriend those who are lonely. Bring hope to any in despair. And console the bereaved, especially Bill, Paul and Carolina, Bobby and Jana, Bonnie, Scott, Kara, Joe, Neil, Jim, Mike and Jonah, Anna, Jim, our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those who we now name aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We turn to you for a purpose. Remind us of your faithfulness to this congregation. Increase our trust in your guidance and keep us near the cross. Grant that our acts of service will express Christ's sacrificial love. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great. We turn to you for peace. We honor these saints who lived in service to others. Inspire us by their example until you gather us into your kingdom. Hear us, O God. Your mercy is great.
Accompany us on our journey
of grace, and receive the prayers of our hearts. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you. They should. Do you want to do it? Okay. Go get him. Yes, you can.
Thank you.
Jesus, you are the bread of life and the host of the menu. Bless these gifts that we have gathered, that all people may know your goodness. Feed us not only with holy, holy food, but with the hunger and justice and peace. We pray this in your name. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ. You call your people to cleanse their hearts and prepare with joy for the Paschal feast, that renewed in the gift of baptism, we may come to the fullness of your grace. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. God of our weary years, God of our silent tears, you have brought us this far along the way. In times of bitterness, you did not abandon us, but guided us into the path of love and light. In every age, you sent prophets to make known your loving will for all humanity. The cry of the poor has become your own cry. Our hunger and thirst for justice is your own desire. In the fullness of time, you sent your chosen servant to preach good news to the afflicted, to break bread with the outcast and despised, and to ransom those in bondage to prejudice and sin. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread, gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." And again after supper, he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering therefore his death and resurrection, we await the day when Jesus shall return to free all the earth from the bonds of slavery and death. Come, Lord Jesus. Send your Holy Spirit, our advocate, to fill the hearts of all who share this bread and cup with courage and wisdom to pursue love and justice in all the world. Come, Spirit of Freedom. Join our prayers and praise with your prophets and martyrs of every age, that rejoicing in the hope of the resurrection, we might live in the freedom and hope of your Son. Through him, with him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty God, now and forever. Amen. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Here is bread for the journey, a feast for hungry hearts. Come.
Thank you.
Please stand for the table blessing. That's right. Up. The body and blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray together. Merciful God, accompany our Lenten journey. Renew us in the gift of baptism, that we may provide for those who are poor. Pray for those who need. Fast for self-indulgence. And above all, that we may find our treasure in the life of your Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
Beloved children of God, we are God's own people, holy, washed, and renewed. God bless you and keep you, shower you with mercy, fill you with courage, and give you peace. Amen.
Let us say our mission statement together. A united people of God, under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Peace. Jesus walks with you. Thanks to be God.